Right, thank you.
I'm Holly, I'm an addict. I want to thank Almighty God for his grace and mercy today. Oh, man. Can we have a moment of silence so I can get a conscious contact with the God of our understanding, the one that's responsible for bringing us here today? Amen. So I said, I'm Holly, I'm an addict. I want to thank Almighty God for his grace and mercy today. I want to thank CPRCNA area for asking me to share and taking a risk, because I know nobody really knows me here. You know what I'm saying? But Charlie C. and a couple other people. It talks about in Just for the Day having faith in someone that wants to help you in your recovery. And sometime I realize today it might be somebody I don't even know that wants to help me in my recovery. I'm a literature person, so if you see me throw stuff in, it's okay. Isolation, and I'm a read it because I've been here a little while, and I don't remember everything. For those of us who've been here a little while, you know what I'm talking about, right? I want to get the topic right. I hope I can see it. That's the other thing. That we want to be in denial about. I've been here long enough not to be able to see. Wow, what an improvement. Okay, where we at? Okay, isolation. The dark room where negatives are developed. Okay. I'm one of them people that like to keep it real. People that know me know that I just share. And I just share what's really going on. And so I believe in starting with Just for the Day. You know what I'm saying? If I can share with you where I'm at today, then when you hear me share, you'll understand why I go through the dilemmas that I go through. Okay. First, I need to say that I'm grateful to be an addict, because God, I can't even imagine what it would be like living with the disease of addiction and not knowing what it is. Not knowing the symptoms. Not knowing, like you talk about in self-acceptance, the troubles that come along with addiction. So the people from the committee called. And I need to share that it took me 10 hours to get here. I drove 10 hours. To talk about in the literature that the addicts would travel far and wide to support another meeting, you know what I'm saying? I drove by myself, you know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful for being here, because I know I ain't have to. You know, the committee member called me and they wanted me to share on Friday, and like, you know, I've been here for a while, and for some reason after you do this for a while, now I'm talking about me, I feel I should be accommodated. Okay, so it's like I got to travel 10 hours to come to a convention, and then I got to share on Friday. And when the member, I said, is there any way, if anybody canceled, that you could change me on to Saturday? And she said, no. And you know what? I'm okay with that today. I wasn't when she first said it. It felt like a gut shot. You know what I'm saying? Because ego wanted to rise up. I'm talking about me now, okay? Ego wanted to rise up and say, don't you understand who I am? And when it rose, I could identify it. We're talking about character defects now. We're talking about when my character becomes distorted as a result of my self-centeredness. Okay, so like when it rises up, I remember, like, don't do that. Because you really want to share at the convention. I'm going to be real honest. I heard about this convention. I wanted to be here. And I don't know if I would have traveled and not shared. Okay. That's being honest. Okay. So this was an opportunity for me to come to Ocean City. I usually come in September to see what's going on the East Coast. You know, I'm from the Midwest. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to keep it real. So when she said it, something happened in my stomach. You know what I'm saying? My spirit was uneasy, but what I realized today was God was telling me that you need to stay humble, because I need to always remember that behind the podium that I'm a trusted servant. And that I need to always stay in a humbling position, because it talks about if I don't, then I'll become humiliated. Isolation. God told me to talk about the isolation that comes with sharing at the podium. I said, God, that's not a popular topic. But I need to share, because a lot of times, as a result of being a person that shares at the podium, it talk about and why we here, that we try not to judge, stereotype, or moralize with each other. But we know that that's only theory. Because that's what we do here. We judge, stereotype, and moralize with each other. So, like, there's some isolation that comes with sharing at the podium. Not because I'm superior, but because of maybe the image that might be projected as a result of me sharing at the podium. I'm talking about the mask have got to go. So I need to stay humble and share with you who I really am. You know what I'm saying? But as a result, when I show you who I really am, I tell you who I really am, will you like me? I need to say that, like, you got to have some self-esteem to do this. Because once I do this, I'm opened up, man. I become vulnerable to allow a whole bunch of people to get to know me. And my disease don't want that. It don't want me to get better. It didn't want me to share that I had some feelings behind the rejection from the committee of not accommodating me. And like I remember saying, well, I don't know why you gave me that topic, because I don't have no experience with that. Right? And as soon as I hang up the phone, I said, uh-oh. See, I don't know about you. I've come to the point in my recovery that I know that God gives me what I need. So when I get a topic, let me not think that I don't have no experience. I'm getting ready to bring the topic to life. That's what God say. I'm getting ready to show you just how much experience you have. And I started the process of understanding what isolation was really all about. It first started with the fact that I realized that I got sponsored a lot of women in my area and outlying areas. And like they got time, so now they done got better. I'm talking about the isolation of sponsorship. When you've been sponsoring people for a long time, a lot of people, and now all of a sudden they done got better, and you find yourself being by yourself. The isolation that comes behind the podium when I get used to people reaching out to me, and all of a sudden I'm sitting at home and the phone ain't ringing no more. And I'm sitting here and I'm saying, like, what am I supposed to do with 13 years clean? I wanted to read something. Isolation. This is what it says in Webster's Dictionary. Because I'm going to take you to the literature. Webster's Dictionary says, isolation, to set apart from the others, to put by itself, to place or to be placed in quarantine. Okay. Then I looked up, because I'm going to tie this in, withdraw. Uh-oh. So y'all probably saying, why am I looking up withdrawal? I'm going to tell you in 1 minute. Hold up. Withdraw. Withdraw means to take out of the company of, to pull out of the company of. In the eighth step, because we talk about isolation, and a lot of times people be saying, oh, well, I'm an isolator. Okay, hold up. Step eight and the step guide says, finally, we get the deeper types of harm. These types of harm may be the most damaging, for they strike at the most vulnerable places in the human heart. For instance, we had a friend. The friendship, perhaps an old one, spanning many years. Emotions, trust, and even personal identity, all these were engaged in the friendship we shared. This friendship, this relationship, really mattered to our friend and to us as well. Then, without explanation, because of some real or imagined slight, we withdrew from the friendship and never tried to renew it. Losing a friend is painful enough without the added burden of not knowing why. But many of us inflicted just this type of harm on someone. We damaged that person's sense of trust, and it may have taken many years to heal. A variation on this is that we may have allowed someone to take the blame for the relationship ending, making the person feel unlovable, when in reality we had just grown tired of the relationship and were too lazy to maintain it. I share that because a lot of times people say they isolators, right? You need to be putting somebody on your eighth step list. Because what I realized today is that when I isolate, I block somebody else off from the blessing. See, it talk about in the literature the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Right? So if I stop somebody from their therapy, you know what I'm saying, helping somebody else, then I'm blocking somebody else's blessing and I've caused harm. What about the person that needs me and I'm not available? Because I'm caught up in my own self-centeredness. I'm sitting at home calling myself an isolator when I'm supposed to be giving back what was so freely given to me. I had to start taking a look at that because that's my story right there. You know what I'm saying? Usually it was imagined. It talked about if it was real or imagined. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was usually imagined. Mm-hmm. And I had a situation just recently where a friend of mine wanted to go out of town with me, and it didn't work out right. And instead of me dealing with the situation, when I came back from going out of town, what I did was withdrew because I have a difficult time dealing with conflict. So instead of dealing with the conflict, I withdraw. I'll tell myself something imaginary. Like, she mad at me. And not even allow the person the opportunity to know why I'm isolating from them. And I'll use the excuse, because you know how we do, it talk about we rationalize and justify. I'll use the excuse, I'll pull something out my ass. Okay, let's just be honest. That they did in the past. To justify why I'm withdrawing from them. I'm talking about we need to start calling a spade a spade. You know what I'm saying? A lot of times the stuff that I see on the surface, that's not what's happening. You know what I'm saying? So like when I had to get in touch with the fact that I caused a lot of people harm because I didn't want to deal with conflicts in my life. And I withdrew from them in order, instead of like facing stuff and working through the relationship, I always waited until they did something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, see? They keep doing it to me time and time again. It's time to go. when the bottom line was I grew tired of the relationship. And I didn't have the balls to do what was necessary. I'm talking about like these defects running packs, y'all. You know what I'm saying? For real, they do. Sometimes I see them, I be like, oh man, not that one. When she said to me what she said to me, I'm going to tell you what I said. This is what got me out of my self-centeredness. The literature says, the N.A. can survive without me. But I can't survive without N.A. And today was a clear indication. You know, I was supposed to come down here with some people. And at the last minute, they bailed out. Right? And I've been doing this long enough to know, you know, sometimes God just say, take a trip with me. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't worried. I knew that there was some people here. I knew there was some people I could call. I kept saying, God, 9 hours? You mean me and you got to spend 9 hours in the car together? That's how I talk to my God. Because I'm saying, like, what are we going to talk about? And the real, for real, for real is that I know when I spend that kind of time with God, that he's usually going to reveal some stuff about me that I don't want to take a look at. It's going to be some crying. It's going to be some singing. It's going to be some laughing. But usually it be a lot of crying. And usually it's stuff that I don't want to face. You know what I'm saying? About myself. So like I got in the car at 6:15 this morning. Headed on my way. I don't even have a cell phone, y'all. So you know I'm really coming with God, right? I got lost coming out of Breezewood. I wanted to blame the signs and the state of Pennsylvania. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm looking at the MapQuest, and it say such and such south, but I'm looking at the signs, and stuff ain't correlating, and I got lost, and I tried to rationalize with myself why I got lost, because it wasn't my fault. Yeah. And I drove like 45 minutes out the way. It's already a long ride. You know what I'm saying? And I'm by myself. And but I'm grateful that I would not allow my arrogance and my ego to have me to keep riding. Because there's some people in here just would keep riding and not stop. See, I've been on them kind of trips with people. You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, would you stop and ask for directions? And be like, no, I know the way. It's this way. So when I realized that I was lost, I stopped immediately. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to ride no long way. It's already a long ride. So I stopped. I asked for directions. You know, and the guy gave me directions. And then, like, the directions is on the MapQuest. He said, well, I don't know where that is. I said, that's not a good sign. You know what I'm saying? He said it would lead me back. And it did lead me back. You know what I'm saying? Kind of. You know, I got lost again before it was all over. But God was in charge. For real, for real. And it was like I was able to find my way. I was not frustrated because I realized that it was all part of the plan. It was all part of God's plan. You know what I'm saying? He was showing me all along. For the isolators, that you got to have somebody. You can't do this by yourself. You understand what I'm saying? So when I get here, it ain't over, y'all. Story ain't over, school. Okay? I get there, I'm at Howard Johnson's. I see addicts coming in from all over, but my room is messed up. I done took all my stuff out, put it on the cart. It's sitting up there by the room. I go check the card, put it in there, come back, it ain't working. You know, she give me another card, go check the card again, it ain't working. You know what I'm saying? But God put this little young boy that was working there, and he was new, and he was talking to me. Mm-hmm. He talked me through the whole thing, man. I stayed calm the whole time. You know what I'm saying? He said, man, I don't know what's going on. I help you out. And he just kept talking to me. Mm-hmm. See, sometimes we'll be stuck, and God will place somebody in your life to bless you. You know what I'm saying? So the young brother kept talking to me, and we were talking. He said, why are you here? And I said, I was here for the convention, and I was able to realize that all this was a part of God's plan. That I can't do this by myself. Now, it's getting to be like an hour and 15 minutes later. They call a maintenance man. He come, he take the lock off the door. But I'm telling you, y'all, I was not upset. I mean, you know, by right now, I should be like, Attic Woman should came out by now, for real. But I'm like standing there, you know, I ain't even asking for another room yet. I just believe and trust in the process. Now, it's like almost 2 hours later, the man's still fumbling with the door. He done went to his van and everything. I come, I say, you know what, I said, could I get another room? And the lady said, well, we'll have to see. And she went on and started talking to somebody else. And I'm standing there and I'm saying, you know, like, you just going to have to be patient. You just going to have to be patient, Holly. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I don't think we realize sometimes that we are not, how do I say it? It's in the tradition. That we are not, we don't represent. It's in the tradition. Mm-hmm. Narcotics Anonymous. But the bottom line is, my behavior can be a reflection for NA as a whole. I'm talking about when you start understanding and working these traditions in your life. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, I can't get to acting all crazy. Uh-huh. They know that Narcotics Anonymous is in Ocean City today. You know what I'm saying? They know that. For real. The young brother that was talking to me, when I started talking to him, I said, yeah, it's NA. He said, oh, what is that? Recovering drug addicts? I said, yeah. You know what I'm saying? He said, oh, wow, that's good to know. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He said, and this was really funny. He said, this probably wouldn't be a good weekend to relapse, would it? I said, no, it wouldn't. You know what I'm saying? But I was grateful for that young brother. You know what I'm saying? Because he was helpful. He ran back up in front, up the stairs, up the elevator. Anything I asked him to do, he did it. I left. I had to go get a phone card. I called the people that I knew. Nobody answered. And I'm telling you, at one point, when nobody answered the phone, I realized how important Narcotics Anonymous is to me.
Yes, ma'am.
That when I'm lost, I can be found. I went back to that hotel, and he was a saving grace. Mm-hmm. I came in the door, I said, okay, y'all, can y'all find me a room? I'm humble now. Ooh. And an addict walked in the door. Thank you, her. And I couldn't do nothing but thank God. So anytime I want to get stuck in isolation, I need to realize that the only reason why I got to where I'm at today was because of y'all. Because I had tried stopping on my own. I don't know about y'all, but I did. You know what I'm saying? And Who's an Addict? It talks about we tried psychiatrists, medications, changing relationships. I don't know about y'all. I told myself a long time ago, if I had had a good man, I just wouldn't be in this position. See, said, you know what? If they had gave me a good job, I wouldn't be in this position. I was the person that went and checked myself in on the psychiatric floor. I would sit in the evaluation and I would tell the psychiatrist what was wrong with me. He would write it all down. I would assess myself. I'd come in, look, this is what I got. I'm kind of manic-y today and da-da-da-da-da and everything. And he would write it down. And in his notes he put, she knows what's wrong, but she don't know what to do about it. So it wasn't until I came into Narcotics Anonymous, right? And you talked about, we don't care what you use, how much you use, or who your connections were. All we want to know is what is your problem and how we can help. You know what I'm saying? And I'm so grateful today that y'all asked me that question. That I didn't have to come in here with no requirements. All I had to do was have the desire to stop using. When I first came in here, though, I'm telling y'all, it wasn't easy. But I realized today that it was all part of God's plan. In the third tradition, it talks about that we don't come in here looking like and talking like each other. And I came in here, man, I was a broken vessel. Yes, sir. We talking about personality change is what we really needed. And I had been beat down so much from active addiction and who's an addict. It talks about the isolation that comes along with addiction. You know what I'm saying? We become antisocial. I was talking about, I remember when I used to just be able to go in the bars and sit down and have one drink. At the end, I couldn't even go out the bathroom. We talk about isolation involuntary. And then I want to come in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and still sit in the bathroom. Talking about, I'm an isolator. I'm not claiming that, man. That's right. You know what I'm saying? I'm not claiming that. No man is an island. And today, I'm proof that you can't do this by yourself. Left to my own devices, I'd have broke down. I was right there at the brink. I was standing there at the phone, and I said, I can't get no addict to answer my call. And when I turned around, God placed the addict in my life. So I'm not confused about what this is all about. You know what I'm saying? I'm not confused at all. I'm grateful that you all are in my life. You know what I'm saying? Because you know how, you know, well, I don't do women. You know how we do. I don't do men. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to share this. I had a step study with my sponsees, a couple weeks ago, and I'm a step person, and I believe in the steps. I believe in the literature. I believe that we come to a point in our recovery where it's not about dwelling in the problem, but it's about getting in the solution. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of times we get mad when we go to our sponsors and we done told the story over and over and over again. And don't get me wrong. You know, everybody recovers at different rates. But, you know, if I say, when was the last time you went to a meeting? And you say, last year. You probably need to start there. Because to talk about the group is the most powerful vehicle. It ain't me. Because on any given day, man, if left to my devices and what I tell you to do, catch me on a good day. So anyway, we had step study a couple weeks ago, and this is how I knew that I was going to be living this, and I'm going to wrap this up with this. You know, for some reason, I've been doing step studies for about 9 years faithfully every month. You know what I'm saying? And in 9 years, I've only missed one. Okay? Now, everybody that come to step study is not as committed as me because I'm the sponsor. You know what I'm saying? So I told him, I said, you know, I'm going to start making it where I can miss step study sometime. They said, well, you can't do that. You the sponsor. You know what I'm saying? And what I said was that when I go to step study, I'm the only one who always gets confronted about what's going on. You know what I'm saying? When a person is not getting the results that they want to get in their life, they want to blame me. Why you ain't called? And then when I say stuff like, you want what I have to offer. And I'm not saying that to be cold, because all my sponsees know that I have supported them and the people in my life. I support people. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, like, you got to be responsible for your own recovery. I call my sponsor. And if I don't get my sponsor, I keep calling until I get it. But I also have a support group, because I don't believe that you should put or depend on no one person in Narcotics Anonymous. You know what I'm saying? That it's about a group effort. So, like, one of my sponsees was upset at me. You know what I'm saying? And it's just been a prolonged thing. It's one right after another. And I'm telling you, when I left there, I had my newcomer sponsee with me, and I kind of shared with her how I was feeling, because it's like, man, I'm tired. You know, I'm starting to get tired. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, when she got out the car, the disease jumped in the passenger seat. He said, let me share with you. That's what he said. I'm driving. He said, you keep messing with them broads. That's your problem. And like, people that know me in my area, I'm like one of them advocates about getting women together. I've had pajama parties and marathon parties and everything, because I believe that the women really need to get with the women, because it's difficult for us to stay here. We got a lot of barriers that stops us from coming. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about getting here, but I'm talking about staying here. You know what I'm saying? The kids and the job and the relationships and the out of relationships and, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, so, like, the disease told me my problem was the women. And so when I wouldn't bite, it said, no, really, your problem is them people in Narcotics Anonymous. And when you leave them alone, you ain't gonna have no problems. You know what I'm saying? And it talked to me, and when I got in my driveway, I opened the door and I looked in the passenger seat and I said, thanks for sharing. I went in my house and I called my support group. And I share that to say that if you're sitting at home and you got a problem, it's on you. God has placed people in your life. Why don't you allow somebody to be blessed by helping you? With that, I pass.
I'd like to thank Holly for sharing. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Shakur. What up? Peace and blessings. I'm an addict. My name is Shakur. All right, I'm going to just wait till everybody, you know, get finished moving and settle down, because I get nervous when people be moving around too much. I'm from the nobody move, nobody get hurt school. Thank you, baby. Yo, my man, what's up? You gonna sit down? What? Oh, all right, because, you know, all right. First and foremost, I want to thank Almighty God for allowing us all to be here this evening. Thank you so much. I want to thank the programming committee. I went through the Friday thing too. I got somebody to blame though. I seen one of my sponsee family kind of guys, and he said, well, we're gonna put you see. And what happened, this is what I thought. They had invited me last year, but I had turned them down because, you know, my daughter was playing basketball and I couldn't come, one of my daughters. So this year, I figured I'd make it a family trip and bring all the kids and my wife and everything. So my daughter's still supposed to play basketball, so she didn't come, but we came this year. So I figured they're going to get back at me for turning them down last year at the last minute, because I know I did, my bad. Put him in Friday night. But it's okay. I, you know, like the sister said, we've been doing this for a while, and I'm just grateful to be anywhere right now. If you look up the name Shakur, it means grateful. That's me. I want to thank my wife and three of my daughters who did make it here with me for driving down here with me and not letting me be in isolation. Because, you know, I could be in isolation in the car with all of them. Music playing and everything. I would be in my own little world. But they wouldn't let me. Every 5 minutes it was, are we there yet? Go, Daddy. Go, Daddy. It's your birthday. You know, it was nice. And so I love them, and thank you. When I think of isolation, I think about, first of all, I think about what our literature says about how our disease isolated us from others. Only when we only came in contact with people when we were getting, using, and finding ways and means to get more. And in the end, in my, what my friend Kenny called my devastating end, I was in a project hallway. Look, I wasn't even in the apartment. This is my identification. I was in the hallway, perched up in the window, right? Like a vulture. You know how the vultures, they wait for something to die, and then they swoop down in. It says our living was reduced to the animal level. I was like a vulture in the end. I was living in the hallway, not living, but I was staying in the hallway. Number one, I was scared to go outside because it was daylight, and somebody would know, that's the one right there. There you go, y'all, right there. So I stayed up in the hallway looking out the window. Somebody was going to come by looking. And I had them all wrapped up, whatever you wanted. Yeah, yeah, I got it right here. How you going to get locked up for selling burns? But that isolation became a way of life because I really didn't want to communicate with nobody. I love what you said about blocking blessings, how we isolate and we cut ourselves off from the help we need, because that's what my disease wants me, at the mercy of my own thinking. My thinking that told me, what if only, and just one more. So if my disease can block me off from you, my help, and it can isolate me, it can get me isolated, I'm at the mercy of the thing that brought me here in the first place. Well, okay, I drove a long way too. And God damn it, I ain't come here to play. So look, check it out. The topic, and this is some fancy shit. I know William has something to do with this, right? Isolation. Oh, the dark room. The dark room where negatives are developed. That's real clever. I ain't see that shit in the literature nowhere, but it's real clever. I like that, so fuck it. It might be. I don't know. It might be, but I ain't see it. But look, this the hit, though, for me, right? I have, when I was in high school, well, junior high school, actually, because when I was in high school, I was shooting dope. But in junior high school, we had a photography class. You know, I lived by a university, and they would send these rich university kids, well, not rich, but smart university kids down to the projects to teach us things. So they taught us how to develop and shoot cameras, movement pictures. So we would go in the dark room to develop film. Now, check this out, right? In the dark room, when they first turn off the light, it is so dark. Check this out. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. So for me, isolation means darkness. In darkness, I can't even see me. So look, oh man, look. So look. When I'm isolating, I don't even know who I am. Oh, see, you know what? Look, y'all don't believe me. Look, in the fourth step, and it works out why it says, we may be very frightened at the prospect of examining ourselves so thoroughly, because we don't know who we are. So when I start isolating, even in here, thank you so much, even in here, I'm losing touch with me and you. Well, that's a bad place to be. Look, so you know God can't come in nowhere. So I'm at the mercy of that vicious, vicious cycle. The fuck it. Wait. Is the baby asleep? Is she still awake? Sorry. I'm sorry, sweetheart. Fuck it. Yo, you know. No, you know what happens when we say those words. What ends up getting stuck for real? I do. Whenever I say, forget it, I always end up getting it. So let's talk about isolation. And not just isolation in deed, but isolation in word and thought. And more importantly for me, isolation in behavior. Now, I'm like you. I'm one of them. I'm going to talk about what's going on in my most recent drama. Because I talked about, our literature says, talk about what it was like and what it's like now. So I'm going to talk about my most recent drama. Listen, I got a job, and it was a real blessing to get the job that I have. I did some things. I've been here for a while. October 22nd, 1988. I got clean, right? So I've been here for a minute, and I'm 50 years old. I know. I don't look it, but it's all good. My children are back there. My oldest daughter is 26. She's the only one, really, in my family that even knows a little bit about my active addiction. My other daughter is 17. She's my walking keychain. My wife met me when I had 10 years clean. And the baby only 4. So they don't really know who the fuck I am. They know the product of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and a loving, caring fellowship and a relationship with God. See, they came at just the right time. They don't know. They don't know. But they've seen glimpses. But anyway, let me just... My wife been to enough conventions and meetings and shit and read literature. She ain't no addict, but she read that shit. And she know my sponsees and sponsor and all of them. And she know, yeah, he need to keep going. So he can maintain this shit that we working with here. So anyway, let me just talk about my most recent drama, right? I love the job I have. I work with, I work in, I hate this term. So I'm not going to use it. You know what? Yes, I will, because I tell you why I hate it. They say, I work in, I've heard people share this, oh, I work in the field. Fuck that. I don't work in no field, all right? I don't work in, I got a problem with that shit. I work in a motherfucking office, all right? But we work in the field of addictions and all that fancy stuff. I do what I do. I went to school. I got my master's degree. I did all of that. I got certified. All of that. So I work with clients. So what I'm learning, right, is that what I knew, what I said I knew, because I'm not just I'm a boss, right? But what I said I knew was I knew all about boundaries and all of this fancy stuff they teach you in school. But I'm Narcotics Anonymous trained. I've been here since October 22nd, 1988. I believe in NA. So now, sometimes there could be a conflict between what you do and who you are. Well, look, now this shit happened to me. So I'm just going to talk about it. I'm going to sit down. We're going to go hear somebody else. Or we maybe, honey, we'll let the kids run around and me and you will, you know, go back to the spot. You know what I'm saying? So I had this client. I had this client who I was working with. He said he wanted to go to the convention. By the way, I'm from Trenton, New Jersey, capital area, Narcotics Anonymous. We just had a convention a few weeks ago. So he said to me, I'd love to go to this convention. And I said, well, you need to ask the people where you staying at. Because he's in a state hospital. I said, you need to ask them if you can go. So he said, you know, I went on and then that was it, right? So he said, I got permission to go. Can you give me a ride? So I said, yeah. So now look, now I'm going to draw the line though. I can't take you while I'm working. Listen to this insanity. But I'm a Narcotics Anonymous member and we're giving out free registrations to newcomers. So if you buy your own hotel room, I'll take you to the convention. I'll take you out there. Now I ain't say nothing to the director. I ain't say nothing to the state hospital. God damn it, I'm an A. Forgetting that this is my client and I work with this guy. You know, that's how I get paid. So now look, One thing about isolation, though, you know, when I start to isolate, when I start to let the disease take over and I start to back myself into a corner of darkness, something happens. Because we have been living this way for so long, my spirit starts to reject things. So now look, I'm going to tell you a clear indication of how God works in our lives. Because I ain't unique. I came home from work. One of my sponsees was there. My wife was doing his hair. So I sit down and I say, I don't feel good. And they say, what's the matter? And I say, well, this guy want me to take him to the convention. And, you know, I don't know about all of this. And look, you know, sponsees, they give you that shit that you gave them. Well, you know, addict seeking recovery, you know, there's a loan. You know, and my wife is like, oh, you know, you need to take that boy to the convention and shit. But this is my job. But now I say I'm off the clock. It's okay. So you know what I do. My stomach is killing me. My head is bothering me, but I drive to the state hospital, pick them up, because I don't have no keys to that motherfucker. Don't get it wrong. They let him out the door. But wait, let me see, because when you're doing something wrong, you know you're doing something wrong. See, I was working under... I was telling them I wasn't working because I didn't have my ID on. I was driving my personal car. But the only way they know me is through this work relationship. Who the fuck? Oh, come on, man. You know, and people who come out of rehab, you know, they take the needle out your neck, you know. So I go pick the guy up. And look, he says, can my girlfriend come too? And I like, is she an addict? He's like, yeah. I go, come on. You know what? It's about recovery, damn it. So I take him to the hotel. He paid for his room. I gave them the free registration packages. And I left. I went home that evening because I was supposed to share at the convention to the men's meeting that Saturday. So I went home. My wife was doing my hair. And all of a sudden, now this is the serious shit, right? All of a sudden, I can't sit still. My stomach is real nauseous. I go to the bathroom. That don't work. My wife is pissed off because she thinks I just don't want to get my hair done. And I'm sitting there and I said, honey, I don't feel well. She said, what's the matter? I said, I feel like I'm going to throw up. So she says, well, here. And she goes, gets to the basin. Sit down there and throw up in that shit while I do your hair. My wife is lovely. Fucking lady. And so... The next thing I know, I got covered in that cold, clammy sweat. So I'm saying to myself, I ain't used drugs since 88, but this damn shit, damn sure feel like, you know, I'm about to go out. But I ain't, you know, I said, well, it's just nauseous. The next thing I remember, my wife is standing over top of me, screaming into the phone at the top of her lungs, my husband, please. And I hear her saying, he's coming too now. And I see my daughter on the steps and she's like frozen, like in shock. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And then I think I see all of these men coming into my house with these uniforms on. Right. And I'm thinking, oh, shit, maybe we had a fight. And I lost because she's standing over top of me, right? With the phone in her hand telling me, don't get up. Because I'm saying, I want to get up. Don't move. And I can't move. And I said, well, maybe she done knocked the shit out of me. Then I see all these blue uniforms and people who don't look like me coming in my house. And I'm saying, we had a fight. I lost, but I'm going to jail. But it wasn't, and I joke about it now because I can, but at the time, my wife and my children, I mean, you know, we have a family, and we love each other very dearly, and for my wife to see, you know, her husband, breadwinner, laying on the floor, and and really not know what was going on with me. And for my children to see that was real traumatic for them. And so they put fluids in me and they took me to the hospital. All right. So I'm wondering, what the hell happened? Now they can't, they're running all kinds of tests. We can't find nothing wrong. You can go home. So I go home about 3:30 in the morning. 6:30 that morning, I get a phone call. My wife says, Shakur, I ain't talking to no mother. She said, it's the police. I'm saying, the police? Well, what the? And then I thought about this guy I left out in this hotel way out here from the state hospital. So they said, listen, where is this guy? And I said, he at the motel. And they said, well, who gave permission to go? I said, I don't know. It must have been the hospital. They said, well, you ain't with him? I said, no, I'm home. I was just come from the hospital. So they said, well, you better tell us where he is right now, damn it. So since I ain't shooting dope no more and I really ain't in the street life, I will tell on a motherfucker in a minute. So I can't do no more time, Aziz. I can't, you know, I'm too soft. I ain't built for that no more. So I can't go to jail. So I told him where he was at, room number, everything. Yes, everything. I told him what he looked like, what he was wearing. So they went and got him anyway to kind of fast forward this. Now there's a big to-do. Naturally, the state hospital is scrambling. They're going to cover themselves. They are a major, major institution. Me, I'm just one little guy with his own little project here that, you know, I'm at the bottom of the hill, and you know what rolls down. So I'm at the bottom of the hill like this. But what happened was when the CEO and other people, and since they heard I was sick, there was all kinds of rumors going around. Oh, I thought you was giving me some signals. There was all kinds of rumors going around. There was a rumor that I had overdosed on cocaine or something. I don't know. I don't even know. And so they gave me my CEO said, well, listen, take a week off. Take a week off. Let us sort through the contradiction and confusion of this particular situation. But look, this is the hit, right? The whole time. Look, way in the back of my mind, I realized what I had done wrong. So when they called me in, and when they started questioning me about my clean time and all that shit, right? Me and Aziz, we had went up to Massachusetts. And I said, they questioning my integrity, man. And if I don't have a whole lot to stand on for these last 17 plus years, I know one damn thing. Shakur been bracking this to the best of his ability. If ain't nobody else in here clean, I know the fuck I am. All I have to stand on. Look, you can take that degree and that certification. You can take that job. You can take all of that shit. The only thing I got to stand on is the work that I've been putting in this place. I'm telling you, Narcotics Anonymous is my life, and I'll stand on this shit. And I said, I hope and pray they take my ass to court somewhere, and I have to call on my friends to come and testify. Let my friends from Pittsburgh, from Atlantic City, from Virginia, from Maryland, from Baltimore, let my friends from New York come and stand for me. I sit back and won't say shit. Let them talk about me up there. Know the work I put in here. I know the relationships God has blessed me with in here. I fear no man. I'm not afraid of anything today except me. So that sounds good, right? Richie, that sounds good as hell, don't it? Listen, let me tell you. I didn't have a leg to stand on. I had nothing but my integrity. So when they called me in to give my statement, I told them, because my wife is like Angela Davis and shit. My wife is like, well, look, if they fire you, this is what we gonna do. And I told her, and I said, listen, honey, God is teaching me something here. There's a lesson to be learned in this. There's a lesson to be learned in this. I did something wrong. No, you didn't. You was just trying to help another addict. Yeah. That's all well and good, but there's rules to this shit. Or my job is one way, and then here's another way, and them shits can't mix up. That secret shit that I knew I was doing wrong. I knew I was doing it wrong because my spirit was telling me it was wrong. I passed the fuck out. Oh, you think that shit was just a coincidence? Can't hide nothing in here. In the dark room, the negative was developing right up here. And I want to put it off on some other shit. The bottom line was, you was wrong, man. Yeah, I was trying to do something right. Yeah, it was a noble cause and all this shit and all this, that, and the other. But your spirit, what you wasn't listening to, was trying to tell you something. Our 11th step says, listen. When we make our spiritual development our primary focus, things happen in our life naturally, as they were meant to all along. So in the dark room, when the lights are out, and you can't even see your hand in front of your face, what do you have to rely on but instinct? That instinct, and that instinctual spirit, that connection with God that you've been working on ever since you first walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, even when you didn't know you was working on it. The first meeting you came to and said, this is my first day clean, and you got a hug and you got a key tag, your spirit started to awaken. We say the seed was planted. So look. They got signs and shit. I understand. Listen, I ain't mad at y'all. I work programming. I know how hard that shit is. But look, this, I just want to say to you, and this ain't no grandstand or nothing like that. I got my whole family here. My wife is frying fish and all that shit. You welcome to swing with us this whole weekend. If you want, I got four girls over there. They just love, you know, recovery, and they love their daddy, and they love anybody who I say is my friend. So listen, I want to thank y'all again for allowing me to share. If I know God was in here, if somebody got something, it was God. If you laugh and had a good time, then that was, you know, I don't know what, but I hope it was identification, and we all can enjoy the rest of this convention. I'm an addict. My name is Shakur.